But I wanted to bring in our friend, a good friend of the program, Bob Clifford, Clifford Law Offices, to talk about what was a harrowing video and circumstance for passengers aboard a flight out on the west coast of an Alaska Airlines flight. One of these 737 MAX 9s where the window panel, so not just the window, but the wind, what would have been a window door panel, blew off the plane, rapid decompression. Amazingly, these pilots navigated this plane down safely and everyone survived. But Bob, I know that anytime you see something like this, it certainly makes your, I'm sure the hair on your neck stand up. You've been working for years as the lead counsel in litigation against Boeing after these crashes of the MAX planes. I appreciate your perspective here this afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome and good afternoon, John. Nice talking to you. You know, look, whenever anything like this happens, you're right. Your hair stands up on end and you shake your head in bewilderment. You know, this thing is so reminiscent of the MCAS saga, because here's what's going to happen. This is an actual plug, if you will, in the side of the airplane. And the reason it exists in some of the MAX 9s is that foreign operators like Ryanair dictated the MAX 9 being slightly longer. The length of the aircraft was longer so they could accommodate the addition of more seats. Hello, mm-hmm. More seats, more profit. But not every operator did that. And therefore, Alaska Air, United, maybe even Southwest, they have the same fuselage, but fewer seats. But there's a plug in the side of the plane because you don't need this exit row any longer because you don't have these additional seats. Well, that's a sealing mechanism that has to put a big seal around that plug. And when the craft got up to about 16,000 feet, the interior the pressurization of the aircraft blew the plug out. And, you know, thank God that the pilots were able to, they weren't that high, so most people were able to breathe normally, but certainly with the oxygen augmentation, and the plane was landed safely. But the fact that they grounded the entire fleet, the FAA, that to me and the experts that I deal with, that tells us that the FAA is immediately honing in on the integrity of this sealing mechanism to make sure that it's okay. I mean, this aircraft was certified in November. It had fewer than 150 flights on it. So this is not really a maintenance problem.
Right.
It's a design problem. And what's going to happen is there's going to be a deep dive into what did they tell the FAA when they certified this aircraft.
Absolutely. And you mentioned those low amount of hours. You're right. And you start to wonder, you know, these things are supposed to be able to undergo many takeoffs and landings and cycles before something like this was even remotely possible. And I appreciate your perspective on that, Bob. And we should just be clear that this is not what hampered the 737 MAXs that were the two foreign planes that were brought down. Those were kind of some angle of attack issues and the fact that the engine design and the wing design was all different. This is not related to these crashes in any way.
No, not at all. They're totally unrelated. The two crashes of the MAX 8s, the Lion Air crash and the Ethiopian crash, were caused by a software system called MCAS that took over the flight controls from the pilots. This isn't something entirely different. This deals with the structural integrity of the fuselage and the sealing mechanism of basically a door that, because we don't have the extra seats on Alaska Air flights, you didn't need the door. So they literally plugged the hole. That's the difference in the length of the fuselage.
Right.
In the Ryanair instance, they use the additional length to put in some additional seats so they can generate more revenue, whereas Alaska Air, United, Southwest don't have those in their aircraft.
I wonder, Bob, you know, thank God no one was killed. I'm sure there were, and I think there were some minor injuries. Does this something like this happen ever reach your desk in any way, or a lawyer's desk, or does an incident like this where it ended up okay and, you know, maybe they'll reimburse the passengers for the flight or give them some credit. Does it ever reach your desk, Bob?
Probably not. I mean, you're right. It depends upon the individual circumstance. I think I read that one gentleman claimed a physical injury to his leg. I understand that Alaska Airlines has already offered these families and passengers not only free additional booking, but also some compensation, like $1,500 or something like that. You know, sadly, we all experienced these kind of traumatizing events differently. I mean, look at the lady who did the video here. She was talking about she was praying. She thought she was going to die.
Yep.
And I can tell you right now from my experience in dealing with the families on the Ethiopian crash, there are people who to this day, the hearing about this event will put them into a tailspin. So, you know, every traumatizing emotional event is unique and special to the individual. But by and large, you know, thank God there were no, you know, deaths here. There were no one got sucked out of the hole. None of that happened. There were two people seated in that row that the flight attendants, once things became stabilized, they were able to move them. So all's well that ends well.
Yeah, I also wonder, Bob, and maybe you could speak to this, that a case like this, even though it's not related to the MCAS thing, and maybe this is a better way to ask it, Bob, do you look at other flights that maybe didn't end in disaster, but warning signs were present to help bolster your case against manufacturers or airlines to show a pattern of behavior or something like this?
Well, sure. You know, it's in the industry, it's known as, in the transportation industry, it's known as a near miss. I mean, and you don't even have to go to the airlines industry. You can talk about Metra. You know, going back 30 years ago when the tragedy violinist Rachel Barton was injured on a Metra plane, there were 80 near misses where the same kind of thing happened, but they dodged a bullet and no one got hurt. And then she was the one who was horribly, horribly injured in a predictable event. The same is true here. There will be, and we'll see when the you know, emergency airworthiness directive details are issued later today by the FAA. There may be some background information in there that tells us whether or not there are other reported incidents. But you're right. I mean, all of these things do get recorded, and they're very helpful to know about. And look, this all goes back to, you know, do we take shortcuts in engineering our products or don't we? And if we do, then ultimately someone pays the price.
Yeah, Bob, in many ways, we were lucky that this failure happened at 16,000 feet. I think it's a different story at 38,000 feet when the pressure differential is way different. And we've seen planes fall out of the sky because of blown apart of this.
Pressure differential, temperature. I mean, look at the temperature. I mean, 16,000 feet. I mean, it's very, very cold. But it's nothing like 36,000 feet. So.
Right. Oh, that one is scary to watch. Credit to the pilots. I know that stuff is hard.
And
they do some incredible things. And when I look at some of these things, I know, Bob, and we've had instances, and you work with families that unfortunately have been on the other side of this in these rare cases. When I do see something like this, I do remind myself of how safe, generally speaking, it is to fly. I don't want to scare anyone going to the airport right now.
Aviation, look, well, here are two things. Aviation is about the safest mode of transportation that exists in the world. Secondly, and a friend of mine earlier today said, hey, would you fly a MAX 8? And I said, absolutely. I think it might be the safest airplane in the sky right now, given everything that it's gone through in terms of all the inspections and the two crashes and all of that. So, you know, no, there is no alarm bell that ought to go off about aviation safety. It is very, very safe to fly, and, you know, millions and millions of people around the world rely on it, and they can continue to do so.
I'm just always mindful there's someone on the Kennedy right now going to the airport. Listening to this, I don't want to remind them that.
But your point is well taken, because you don't want to unduly, you know, force concern. But, you know, look, the law of gravity is always in effect, which is why we are entitled to rely on these manufacturers and the operators to do what they are supposed to be doing. And when they fail, then they ought to be held accountable, and we should all bear witness to that.
Bob, you do it better than anyone. All the people accountable for this stuff.
You're very kind.
CliffordLaw.com. People can go to the website to learn more about these cases. 312-899-9090 is how you can reach the office. Bob, I appreciate you coming on last minute. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Yes, sir. Have a good weekend.
All right, for sure.